You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan. Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future. Assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. This week's show, we've invited Game Dave from Retroware to talk about our favorite consoles from the current generation, or any generation. We pile on the shame with all the reasons why we won't play otherwise very enjoyable games. And, oh, do you smell that? Oh, crack a window open, would you? Seriously. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Hey, Vink.
Hello.
So I was in Best Buy recently, and I noticed that Rock Band 4 came out. Did you see this?
No, I've seen neither Rock Band 4 nor Best Buy in many years. So.
Fair enough. But surely you've heard that this was happening at some point.
Yes, I did. Actually, I mentioned it in one of my retro articles talking about music games. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, but it took me by surprise, honestly, because I remember 10 years ago when the original Guitar Hero came out, that it was like a centerpiece for the stores. And now it was just like off in a forgotten corner. I barely missed it except I had to round it to get to the Wii U game. So that tells you something, I think, right there. This has put me in kind of a difficult position because I invested heavily in the Rock Band series for the Xbox 360.
Yes, you did.
I did.
You had everything, right? You had like multiple guitars and
And a bass.
Wow.
I got all the cymbals for the drum kit. Yeah, I was all in. So all right. I got most of the games too. I never exported anything. So a lot of the windows for that stuff is passed. But like Rock Band 3 stuff I think is still eligible. Beatles stuff never was. Green Day expired earlier in the year.
Yeah.
But if I want to play Rock Band 4 now, unless I get an Xbox One, I got to buy all this stuff over again for a PS4 because...
Wait. Why?
Well, were you aware that this stuff is backwards compatible, at least with an adapter?
Oh, I didn't know it was because I heard they were switching the inputs all together. So I thought nothing was back compatible.
So yeah, there's a device you can get that should make this stuff work with the older systems, but only in the same console family that they originally released for. And the libraries are also able to be brought into your current day console.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, right? But I have a PS4. I have a PS4, and you've teased me before for getting this for one game, that game being Dragon Age Inquisition. But I will have you know, sir, that I bought a $20 copy of the complete Injustice Special Edition. What's it? Who's it? And more importantly, I backed the Amplitude Kickstarter, which I was more excited for. Also coming from Harmonix, mind you. More excited for that than I was for the release of Rock Band 4. Didn't even think about it. So when they had that deal, that Black Friday deal for an Xbox One for just $300, I was sorely tempted. Because do I spend that much money for a console for one game and then buy that one game? Or do I spend $250 to get a guitar and the drums and whatnot all over again?
Well, I mean, the answer is yes. You spend $250 for one game if it's a great game, but no, you don't spend that for Rock Band.
Yeah, but then there's Halo, and there's like a pack-in, you know, for the $300, and then there's no need for a Kinect, and it's got me all confused. It's like how
that's That's how they get you. They trick the youth.
Well, it just makes me wonder, just how does one come to the decision to back a certain console during its lifetime?
Often it depends on fanboyism.
Oh, hey.
Sean, you sound different.
No, that's Game Dave.
Oh, oops.
Oh.
Hi, Game Dave.
Hey, sorry to Game Dave all over your dojo.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry to hear about your logo. Last I heard, it was exploding.
Oh, yes. Pixelated mess.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when one gets Sonic Boom, I hear.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've stayed away.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So yeah. Hi, welcome to the Famicom Dojo podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Hi, you're welcome.
So Dave, what do? You play games, right? I've watched some of your videos.
I do.
Otherwise,
play the
just
games.
Just be Dave.
I do game. I also Dave, hence Game Dave. You run a little YouTube channel. Feel free to check that out. But yeah, I just like to talk about games in a positive way because the whole angry gaming thing is kind of overdone.
Wait, have you been reading our scripts?
Oh,
this sounds familiar. Yeah, I like it. I've watched, as I said, a few.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
There's a lot out there. It takes time.
I think that it's nice that you're like, here's a game, and I like it. Oh, you like something. Whoa, that's refreshing.
It's like, whoa, easy. This is the internet, buddy.
Right?
Yeah.
You better nitpick this thing.
But one of your features is a Famicorner. You talk about some games that are, you know, it's something sorely missing because we don't talk about games really very much on our videos, do we?
You definitely have a hardware focus, I would say.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
We're just getting that out of the way. We'll get to the games.
Games. 2020.
Yeah.
25 maybe. We're working up to it.
Hindsight, you might say.
It was really funny, actually, because Vink had sent me a whole bunch of stuff, and that is in a different order stuff Vink sent me, which is a little video subset of things that we do. And one of those games that he sent me was Wits, because it was multiplayer.
Yep.
And then I saw that you did a video about it, and I'm like, damn it.
Yep.
It's a great little game.
He was on it. He was at his wit's end. Sorry.
I think. Did he make that? I think he made that.
I
joke.
Did make that joke in the beginning of my video.
Did you? Oh, well.
Oh my god.
Great minds think alike.
Indeed. Well, I mean, that's very low hanging fruit.
Yeah, it's an easy go to.
So, how'd you get into the Japanese side of the games?
Well, actually, back in the pre-YouTube days, actually Final Fantasy is to blame.
Oh, really?
Because I was an early adopter. I mean, I started with the original for the Nintendo.
Yeah.
And then it got to the PlayStation era, and then 7 came out, and I didn't understand why it was 7.
Yeah.
What? So then, with the magic of the dial-up internet that the kids don't know about anymore,
yep,
I was like, whoa, 2 and 3 are 4 and 6.
Yep.
So that's kind of where it started, and then eventually that led to when eBay showed up, the early era where it was just auction.
Yep.
Yep. I was like, I wonder if I could find them, and that was the first thing I imported.
Yep.
Was the original 2 and 3.
Oh. Did you play them?
The saves, I just looked at them and I was like, I have no idea what to do. I don't speak Japanese.
Yep. Yep.
And I just fiddled through it and I was like, man, these look really cool and different and I can't experience them right. And luckily, Anthology came out, so I got to experience 5 correctly. Which I love. I know a lot of people like to hate on 5 because it's kind of goofy, but
game,
I mean, butts, come on. But I, but
yeah,
I
butts. Loved.
And then Origins helped me play 2 in the correct way.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And then with emulation and translation patches, of course, that allowed 3 to happen.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like the 3. I wanted to play the 2D version. I didn't want to play the 3D re-releases. So, though I will say the PSP version is probably the best.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, because it was only, yeah, the PSP FF3 was only released in Japan, but it is, you can switch it to English, which is kind of nice.
Yep. There's quite a few games like that, strangely enough.
Yeah. So that was kind of where I got started with it. And then, yeah, I just kind of had these weird Japanese games. Like, man, I should probably, now that Game Dave's starting to get a following, maybe I should talk about something that's a little more unique. And then after I started that, shortly after that, I was like, whoa, Famicom Dojo. I like what these guys are stepping in. I like the way it smells.
We are recording this, right?
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Gotta watch.
Okay, because
gets a little bit silly at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Because that's our tease for this podcast.
Or I hope you're smelling what we're stepping in.
Yeah. That's how we promote. We just leave a flaming pile on your doorstep. It's not working as well as we had hoped.
Can you smell what the Vink is cooking? Okay, so.
Oh, good lord.
My first YouTube channel was back in like 2006, but I just did all kinds of random goofiness. I didn't really focus it until Game Dave.
That sounds familiar.
What's in my refrigerator? Ah! No.
There was a vlog I was going to do which involved me putting the camera in the refrigerator. I never did it. It's probably for the best.
Now the world will never. We'll never
and Alton Brown would have come after you.
Ooh, Good Eats reference. We're going to get along.
Yeah, so check out Dave's stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
I recommend it. Although I do want to say one thing. I've been waiting to say this one thing.
Oh, here it is.
Here it is. You can't use a multi-tap like an NES satellite or whatnot in an AV Famicom. It won't work.
Oh, snap. I just got mad corrected, yo.
No, it's funny because like at that time we were working on that NES video, and one of the things that we've been sitting on because we haven't done the AV Famicom stuff yet is we found out the hard way that you can't just like plug in an NES zapper into the controller tube of the AV Famicom. So like I don't have the light gun for that, and I was just like, all right, that's no big deal. I'll just plug it in. And it'll work, and it doesn't because the way they wired the extension port from the Famicom into the NES, those crafty Japanese bastards.
Ah, which also applies to the multi-taps. That is unfortunate.
Yep. Yes.
And I suppose anything, Famicom robot, data recorder, yeah, anything.
In,
not the disk system though, because that's a different.
Yeah, there's different leads. It's all a whole thing. So we do hardware, but more surface level stuff.
So now what do we do if we want to play some four-player Wits?
Well, funny you should ask that, because at some point in the coming months, we hope to answer that question. But there are multiplayer adapters that were released in Japan, but they were all third-party from what I've seen. But we got one by Hori.
Yeah, I have seen that one. And I was like, oh, I'm sure it'll work just like the satellite. Apparently not.
It's funny, right? Because you got to use those detachable controllers, which have those extension port plugs. So if you can somehow round up four of those, you can totally replace the two wired ones for some reason. I guess that's an option you can have, and go about your gaming fun. But someday we'll get to that, right, Vink?
Sure.
I'll be waiting
after the Kickstarter. That's totally happening, by the way. But yeah, so.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, Dave.
Thanks.
Special thanks this week to our sponsor, listener, Eric Dory. Dory. Well, thank you for sponsoring this episode. It's thanks to listeners like you that we can keep doing this show, and we absolutely appreciate all the support. If you would like to sponsor an episode of Famicom Dojo, just go to littlepodcast.com, look for our logo, and click the donate button. And Eric, we'll fix your name next week.
I guess our topic is, how does one choose? And yeah, there's a lot of fanboyism. So let's get our biases out on the table. Game Dave, what are you a terrible fanboy of?
Well, I used to be Nintendo.
Ooh.
And then I moved into the Sony realm.
Oh.
And then you moved back to Nintendo, right?
Currently, it is my most played console. Yes, the Wii U.
Ooh.
Oh,
Well, oh, you're done, sir.
Hey, good company. Good company. All right. I guess we'll, you know, maybe let's go generation by generation.
So I like that. Yes.
Spoil everything. So first generation, what kind of Pong did you like?
Oh, God.
I was a Magnavox Odyssey guy myself.
Magnet.
I like that. I like that. Actually, I actually did have a home Pong system, but it was purchased at a garage sale in like 1988. So it was far past like the era of Pong, but my cousins had a Sears Super Pong machine, which was like the first color Pong machine, and it had four players, and we actually played that quite a bit. It was pretty fun. But did any of you ever try a Pong machine?
No. My first console was actually, well, I don't know if you can even call it a console, was the Vectrex.
So let's see. That's
Safi on.
Which okay, I still have my original Vectrex, actually.
So are we done with the first generation then?
Yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so second generation. And I think that's where Vectrex falls in, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's Vectrex. So we're talking our Atari, our Vectrex, our Bally Astrocade, our Fairchild Channel F in television. Okay, what were you a fanboy of in this generation? So we've got a Vectrex going on. That's kind of an odd one to go with. That was your first console.
That was. I didn't get it when it came out, but it was my first console. Yep.
All right. Was it a gift, or I mean, how old were you when you got this thing?
Oh, I don't really. I was a youngin. It was a hand-me-down from my aunt, who I don't know why she had it. She didn't even seem like a gamer.
Hardcore gamer.
Yeah. Yeah, hardcore gamer. Let me get this Vectrex system, because who needs a TV?
I've played a Vectrex, but it's one of the very few consoles I've never owned. And I'd love to get one. And there's an amazing homebrew scene still going on for that. So
it's wild. I mean, they have carts with every game on them.
Yeah, yeah, and they're still making new games for it. That's
pretty neat. Yeah,
I'm waiting for someone to port the Strong Bad game from Homestar Runner, that was modeled after a Vectrex game
to the actual Vectrex.
Actual Vectrex and. Or the Virtual Boy. I'm willing to accept either of these systems.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. Sean, were you gaming at this time?
Well, I had played the 2600. There was I believe it was the 2600 anyway. It was a Smurfs game I would play. It was over at the house of.
It was like Escape from Gargamel's Castle or something.
Yeah.
The first level is jump over the gate. The second one is dodge the spider.
That sounds right.
Yep.
It was not mine. It belonged to the son of one of my mother's friends, and when she would go and visit, I would ask to play this all the time. But it only happened once in a while because she didn't want to bother to hook it up to the TV. You know, that coax cable is just so difficult.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, having to download all the updates.
Right. I mean, they only had, like, you know, like a 3600 baud modem at the time. It's just terrible.
DLC for Papa Smurf's hat.
All those bytes.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to go to, like, the BBSs and just... No.
Yes.
I don't think I even own any consoles from this generation unless... I guess it depends on where the SG-1000 falls.
Yeah, well, I mean, you own it now. I mean,
I own it now.
You didn't back in the day. SG-1000 is probably third generation. But,
okay, even the first one, I think.
I mean, let's go. Well, according to Wikipedia, which is what we're using as a reference for this, because they have a guy. I mean, I'm not talking about all the information is coming from there, but they've broken down. What they're considering the console generations, because it's mainly by year.
Okay.
And basically this generation they're ending around 82.
Okay.
I also didn't own anything during the second generation, but I played a lot again at relatives' houses, and it was in television for me. which
sure,
which at the you know how a lot of people kind of made Nintendo during the 8-bit days like synonymous with video games in general. Like, are you gonna go play the Nintendo? Right. You know, for me, because several of my family members owned these Intellivision systems, I figured Intellivision meant video game. Like,
sure,
if you could control what was going on the screen, that was Intellivision.
Yeah, okay. That's good branding.
Yeah, it was really good because I'm like, it's not television, it's Intellivision. Ah, it's in the television. I get it. But there was this tank game called, I don't actually remember what it was called. It was similar to the Atari game of Combat, but I'm sure it had its own name. And we played that all the time, and a baseball game on the system, and a few others. I believe, what was it called? Some dungeon exploration game that was something Stalker, I think. Night Stalker, maybe. Anyway, played tons of games on that, and I really, really liked the Intellivision. So that was... I got into Atari after the NES, and I bought my own Intellivision again after the NES, but that's my memories from the second generation when it was actually going on. Okay? Third?
Third generation. Easy for me. That's the NES.
Yeah.
That was my introduction to console gaming. I was an Apple II gamer at the time.
Yep.
And then this is detailed in episode 100 of the podcast.
Yep.
Shameless plug. But yes, I would go to a friend's house every morning before kindergarten and play some sweet, sweet 8-bit goodness.
All right. I always figured you more for an Amstrad GX 4000 kind of guy.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, I didn't know of any other consoles of that generation until well after it was over.
Yeah, like, same here.
I was very confused by when the Genesis came out. They put all the Master Systems on sale, and it also had Altered Beast. So yep. I was like, oh, I can get a Genesis for like $50, but that's not what was going on there. I would have been very disappointed.
I knew that the Master System was a thing that existed because I watched a great deal of television, and
yes,
I saw that it had an Elf game, which I was jealous of because, come on, Elf, what a show. How could a game based off it be anything but the best game ever made? You could actually fight with a sausage.
Are you saying Elf or Alf?
Elf, A-L-F.
It sounded like Elf, sorry. I mean, Will Ferrell, you know, was not quite... Oh,
listen,
yes.
I would totally play a Master System game starring Will Ferrell.
Homebrew community, get on it.
I bought that, but the Alf game that I was familiar with was for Apple II? GS?
Yep, I played that.
Was it specifically? Yeah. I don't remember.
It was just regular Apple II.
It was regular Apple II. I put it mostly on the aforementioned friends.
Game. It was a Pac-Man-ish game, right?
Yeah, yeah. You had to run around and like catch four cats, had literally herd cats, and bring them back to Alf's doghouse, and then and avoid Willy at the same time.
You always have to avoid the Willy.
Of course. Well, I mean,
you have to find the pussy
life.
And avoid the Willy.
It's common sense.
All right. And we get our first.
It's our new rating.
Oh, yep. God.
Anyway,
these games
it's a
are
hard
terrible.
PG-13.
It's a hard PG-13. But I remember, and they had a game, a Monopoly game out for the system long before the NES got one. So I remember just in those, and I didn't understand why there would be games for some other platform that no one seemed to own. But I've met a lot of people. Maybe it was just where we lived, but I've met a lot of people, you know, in college who grew up with Master System. So I guess people did, especially people in Europe. But yeah, it was pretty much off the radar, other than the occasional game that I couldn't play. Yep. So why did we choose the NES? Because that was like the only option, right?
Yeah, it's what everybody knew. It's just, it was like the common sense choice.
So, like, Console Wars wasn't even really going on at this point so much. I think it's really the fourth generation that kind of started the whole idea of picking your battles.
Right? So we should totally skip this, otherwise there's no point in our Kickstarter. I'm just kidding.
Okay, State Allegiance.
Super Nintendo.
Sean?
Yep, I stayed true to Nintendo, and I also went with Super Nintendo.
I did. I was also Super Nintendo, but part of me always wondered if I had made the correct choice, especially as the generation kept going on. I stayed with it because, you know, Mario series and stuff like that. But, you know, when Mortal Kombat came out and it had blood on one system and not on the other,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it was also that, you know, the people who were playing video games in the NES days, I think a lot of them went over to the Super NES, but a lot of people who were brand new to video games just started with the Genesis. I think it was definitely cooler at the time.
Oh, for sure. And the way that the advertising, like, targeted Nintendo head on.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you couldn't not know about it, unlike the other consoles of that generation, at least for me anyway. Probably also helped that I was older and was watching other shows, because I was a preteen at this point.
Yeah.
And I definitely was Sonic curious at this young age. But, you know, right. It's like most boys are, it's like, oh, I'd never play a Sonic game, but secretly I really wanted to try. I just didn't know where to put my hands because there were three buttons.
Wow.
Ooh, that controller. Mm.
But, like, I mean, you know, like a lot of televangelists secretly have, you know, at the time I was so pro Nintendo that I think in this box of breakfast cereal, they had a Sonic toy, and I went outside and I burned it as showing that I would never play a Sonic game. But of course, like a lot of those really strong gestures, secretly I was thinking I might be missing out on something there.
I felt like it would be a betrayal at that point, because the Super Nintendo I actually purchased with some of my own money.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, when you're only like 11, 12 years old, that's like a big deal.
Oh yeah, it's a huge investment. And did any of you know anybody who had both at the time?
Both? Certainly not.
I knew one family that did, and they were wealthy. They had the reason that I was not surprised that they had both was because they had all, oddly, they had a Vectrex with almost every game in the box.
Oh, my God.
And they never played it. They were like, oh, this thing is so stupid. And I just wanted to play their Vectrex. It was like, I had two games, and they had all of the games, and then they had a Genesis, and they had the Super Nintendo. I just didn't understand it.
And a Neo Geo, and in the Ferrari. Yeah.
Somehow they do that.
In the Ferrari.
Ferrari Entertainment System.
Yes.
Yeah. This again, twice aforementioned friend did skip to the Genesis at this time, and that is where I got some of my exposure. I moved away around this time, so the divergent interests could not have been more stark.
Did you move specifically because he got the Genesis?
I will neither confirm nor deny that vicious rumor.
Now, I was aware of the Neo Geo at this point because I was mostly aware of it because I used to read gaming magazines, and they always had like the list in the back of how much you could buy used games for, like how much you could sell them, how, you know. And at the end, they always said Neo Geo, and it was like multiple hundreds of dollars for games. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And at the arcades, they had the Neo Geo systems. And I remember seeing King of the Monsters and the original Samurai Showdown and just being incredibly impressed by them. But I didn't even realize that it was something you could even buy, basically, because I'd never seen one in a store at that point. I guess the same could be true for the TurboGrafx, though.
Yeah. Like,
did you have any stores that sold TurboGrafx?
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember which store it was. I did see it on the shelves, though.
I saw it once at Toys R Us, but there was no Toys R Us in my town, so that was it.
Yeah, I saw one at a KB after it was out of date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about
That's where I got my game.com.
And now KB is out of date.
Does KB exist anymore?
No, it does not. It went bankrupt. It is gone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Overpriced mall prices for stuff you can get anywhere else cheaper, especially in the age of Amazon, did not stand a chance.
Yeah, I suppose not. So is Toys R Us like it? Is that like the only main toy store? Because FAO Schwartz is gone.
Right.
KB's gone. I don't know if there were other toy stores. But...
Well, Toys R Us, even a decade or more ago, really, I guess, was focusing more on like the babies and stuff, infant and child care. So when I worked at one such Toys R Us over a summer, most of the business I did was like selling diapers and like little baby toys and whatnot. Lots of pregnant women coming through the store. And now I have
games where you use your hands.
I see what you did there. Yes.
Sorry, I have to get in the Back to the Future reference in every episode. It's in my contract. Yeah, the choices were basically Genesis or Super Nintendo, and I went with Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know anyone actually owned. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
That's all I knew that even existed was Super Nintendo and Genesis, and there, you know, all the bullies I knew had Genesis, and then all of my friends had Super Nintendo.
Sounds correct.
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah, it was always like the weird kind of like, this kid's kind of a rude guy. He gets D's, and he has a Genesis. Weird.
Yeah.
No offense. None taken.
This will sound very strange, but the people I knew that had Genesises were the kids from a divorced family, and it was always like there was the Genesis at their dad's house.
This is going to a weird place.
But necessarily deep.
Yes.
That's interesting. So it was the cool single dad console.
Yeah, it was like single dads. It was like we only get a weekend together, so we're gonna see blood.
Oh my god!
Check out this version of Beavis and Butthead, kid. You have no idea.
Yeah, your mom's showing you that Jurassic Park game where you save the dinosaurs. This one, you get to be the dinosaur.
So what you're telling me is if my parents have gotten a divorce...
Yes. You are more likely to own a Genesis if you also knew me at that time and went to my school.
I could be a cool gamer now as opposed to me.
Yeah. I also think that Sega broke up families. I mean, that's just...
Wow, okay.
That's just what was going on back then.
I mean, good thing they don't do much video game stuff anymore.
I know.
Everyone came down with Sonic Boom.
Controversial episode here.
Japan is still recovering from the lowered birth rate caused by the Dreamcast. Oh,
We'll get there. We should probably move on to the next generation.
All right, let's back away from this generation a little bit. Dear Famicom Dojo, I would like you to know that I am a Sega fan and my parents have been together for 55 years.
I also did not bully kids.
Yes, much. I did not bully kids. And most of my grades were above the D level.
The D rating.
The D rated D. Like you. Rated D right for in. Bully.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move on. We didn't go fourth generation plus.
What?
What about the add-ons? Like, did Sega That's CD weird. or the 32X or anything sway you towards moving into those later in the generation, or
not,
went right?
Not at all.
No, and I will explain why when we get into the fifth.
Okay. All right.
Dave correctly pointed out.
Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm. This is the breaking point for some people.
Yeah. Some. Probably a lot, because that PlayStation, that market share, oh.
Dat PlayStation, though.
Dat PlayStation.
Oh,
that's
man.
Where I went. I left Nintendo for my dirty gray mistress. The Sony PlayStation.
So sophisticated.
I continued with Nintendo 64, immediately regretted it, and went off the grid for a while.
Logical.
Oh, no. Yeah. This is what happened to me. I was still a Nintendo Power subscriber at the time. And I was buying...
So you had to, because you'd signed that contract.
Exactly. I had bought hook, line, and sinker, this nonsense propaganda against CD-ROM. Which was really too bad, because guess what I was playing on my PC?
CD-ROM games?
Yeah.
Leisure Suit Larry. That's what you were playing on your
PC. Yeah, that was on floppy.
Ironically.
Or given Larry's issues, quite apropos.
All right. So
goodness. Yes. Some of those games, some of those early disc-based games for the PC, I had not played until close to the end of the 90s. So well into this fifth generation. So like, I didn't know what Journeyman Project was, even though it was like, I think they promoted themselves as like the first CD-ROM game, but I'll be happy to settle with one of the first. That sounds
It was one of the first big titles. It was definitely because this is the Nintendo 64, and I got it 96. Looking forward to it as much or not more as Nintendo 64 kid on the videos. And I got it, and I'm like, all the genres I like are not on this. And
right.
I played the heck out of Mario 64. It was so fun. Really, really enjoyed that. But then after that, I mean, I gave up the thing before Zelda came out. So I guess I didn't give it the chance it needed. But I was going off to college, and when we were trying to divvy up who got the Nintendo 64, my brother or I just said he could have it. And strangely enough, I got to college coming there with no video game system at all. And I was lured back into video games by the Sega Saturn.
What?
Because at that time it was being discounted for like nothing. I think I bought my Sega Saturn for like $28.
Okay, wow.
And then there was a Japanese exchange student in the dormitory, and he's like, imports. And I'm like, what? You know, and then from that point, I'd say about 50% of my game purchases were imports from that point on. And then the next console I bought was a 3DO, and then imports for that. And then I bought a Jaguar I bought a Jaguar before I went to college. Oh my goodness. The only video game system I brought to college was an Atari Jaguar. Because it was also my only CD player.
Wow.
Delicious toilet CD player.
Delicious toilets.
Delicious toilets.
And that's the name of this episode.
Delicious toilets.
Delicious toilets featuring Game Day.
Featuring Game Day. With his cake-flavored toilet.
No. That's the episode name. Game Dave's cake flavored toilet.
If that's not clickbaity, I don't know what is.
I know.
God.
I just gotta know what that means.
Oh, they're gonna be clicking, all right. They're gonna be clicking that unsubscribe button.
Oh.
And then they're gonna find your YouTube channel. If they didn't know it already, they're gonna subscribe just so they can unsubscribe.
Listen, we can...
I'll be back down to 7777 in no time.
Yep. Sorry, continue.
Oh my gosh.
But it better be toilet cake related, or
fine.
Cite you for being off topic.
So the N64 came out either on or the day before my 16th birthday.
Oh.
And I did get it very close after that. And much like the Super Nintendo, this was a purchase with my own money. And so I was invested again, but like the prices of these cartridges were just insane. So I was, you know, also buying my own games for the most part. And I'm like, $80 for a title. I'm looking at how much the PlayStation games cost. And I'm like, oh, and I'm seeing like what games aren't available for it. And I'm like, and like, you know, Mystic Quest. Yep. What am I thinking of? Sorry. Quest 64. I'm just like, are you kidding me? I didn't really understand the fallout of what had happened with the Super Nintendo CD system at this point. Although I was aware of the CDI, and I believe I did either see or play one of those Zelda games in a department store.
Yep.
Around that time. But I remember going
Radio Shack.
No, it was not Radio Shack. It was some bigger store, but I cannot tell you if it was like a Sears or what anymore. But like I remember going into Toys R Us before the N64 came out, you know, and like looking at that weird three-prong controller and controlling Mario 64 for the first time, and thinking to myself, yes, this is a good decision. And
well, if basing it just off Mario 64, it is a good decision. That's a fantastic game, and it holds up incredibly well still today. It's just that there weren't enough games like that, or games in general, on the system.
This is where I began to stray, though, because I had friends who owned a PlayStation.
Yep.
And I got to see like Final Fantasy VII, and it didn't look as good as the N64, I thought, but I started, you know, expanding my horizons a bit, rethinking my stance against my ridiculous, hypocritical stance against CDs on consoles.
Dave, tell us more about these indiscretions.
Indiscretions. I see PlayStation just, I'm an RPG guy. That's me.
Ah, yeah.
And
yep.
If you were not on the PlayStation and you liked RPGs, there was probably something wrong with your toilet. Let's just bring that back. Because sadly, N64, just my friend, my best friend at the time, he was the Nintendo guy. He went N64. Yep. He got it when it launched, and I didn't get the PlayStation until the RPGs started creeping up. And it just looked weird. And actually, what was it? Mortal Kombat Trilogy, that was released on N64, yep. Wasn't it? I feel like that, I saw it at his house and he was playing it, and it was the most bizarre looking thing to see him playing Mortal Kombat Trilogy on his N64 with that controller.
Yeah.
I just didn't, I was like, oh, man, you blew it. You picked wrong. It just didn't make sense. Just didn't make sense to me. But again, the PlayStation era of RPG is just crazy good.
And I discovered those later on, actually. But I don't know. My anti-Sony bias really kept me for a long time from even entertaining the idea. But I remember I got a video in the mail, which was a video cassette, which was a preview of Final Fantasy VII, and I looked at it and I'm like, yep, backed the wrong horse on this one. Because that was just mind-blowing. That the full-motion video, everything like that, just, I don't know.
And it's such a huge game.
Yeah. Just crazy at the time. And then, let's see. I got a PlayStation very late in the generation. It was the last of the big ones from that generation that I got. Wow. Yeah, I had a Jaguar and a 3DO before I got a PlayStation. That's very odd. But yeah, the game that actually pushed me over into it was Lunar.
Mm.
Because I saw someone playing it and I'm like, this is, you're playing a cartoon. And everybody's talking and singing and it's funny and it's, And I'm like, I'm going to buy a PlayStation so I can play this. Yep.
Yeah, that was one of my friends. He went PlayStation specifically for Lunar.
A lot of people went PlayStation for Tony Hawk, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't know who didn't have at least a couple copies of that game.
Yeah. Was that ever a pack-in with the system? Like, I don't... It just seemed like you had to have that game.
Cool Borders, I think.
Cool Borders!
Wasn't it? I think it was a pack-in.
Maybe.
In the later... When the DualShock came out, I think it was.
It might have been. I think that was a Sony franchise, or Sony partially supported. Although there is a Cool Borders on Dreamcast, so...
We'll have to...
Cool Borders Burn, spelled with several R's. Yeah. It's like burn. Maybe that was Sega going like you think Cool Borders is exclusive to your platform? No, this is Dreamcast. Cool Borders Burn.
Sick burn.
Yeah.
It really seems like the PlayStation took Sega's edgy perch. Oh, like very literally in the case of when they announced their price.
Yeah, it was just like $299. Drop the mic.
But like, you know, so much damage was done to Nintendo at that time that it's like not only did they take Sega's purse, they just took the top spot, and there was no going back.
Nope.
Very so. Like you can't deny things in the face of that. But I stay loyal to Nintendo. Including the next generation.
Huh.
So this is what. Where are we? The sixth now.
Yes,
you're at the sixth generation. As I will call it, the Dreamcast generation.
So what you're saying?
Oh, was that a spoiler?
Yeah. Anyone who's listened to this podcast already knows this.
But this is the this is one of the. First generations where Sean made a terrible choice.
What do you mean?
You didn't buy the Dreamcast.
Not when it came out. Yeah. Okay. Let's back up for a minute. I was there on launch day to get a GameCube, and it's because I was fully an adult. You know, getting.
But you chose the purple lunchbox.
I chose the purple lunch. The irony is, no. Listen, I have my own money. I was in college. It's like I'm gonna stand in line in a Walmart at midnight. Yeah, yeah. I like me now, not divorced parents.
Wow.
Genesis does what your parents don't.
Divorce. or stay together. I guess stay together in the case of the Genesis.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, I was so invested. I had to make sure that Nintendo's disc-based platform succeeded.
Oh, so you like discs now?
Right.
Well, like he liked half a disc.
Oh yeah, you like discs that can only be used for one thing. So your main thing is you didn't like movies, you didn't like audio so much, you just into the games. I like that. That's pure.
Well, I was already questioning my commitment at this point because I was like write in like angry emails to IGN 64 as it was called at the time, being like, why doesn't Nintendo release 64 DD in America? You know, I'm like, why didn't they make this their main storage medium if they were going to do this, but I guess it would have, you know, been bad for their anti-disc rhetoric. I don't, all I knew was that there was a divide between the marketing and what was actually happening. And I could no longer deny it, especially when it's like, well, why doesn't the GameCube play regular size DVDs? Why isn't it a DVD player? Like
because
the PS2.
It didn't have blast processing.
Yeah.
EP.
All right.
But like the Dreamcast was the first one, right? And I scoffed. Yep. I scoffed. There's a whole video about this scoffing. I won't go into that detail.
Just go to the search bar and type scoffing.
No, that
won't
take
you anywhere.
It's the first hit.
All right. So you decided that you'd pass on the greatest video game system ever made.
Until it was on its last legs, and our friend Ben got one, and he introduced me to Crack Monkey, Samba de Amigo.
Yep.
And I I was hooked.
Yeah.
Dave, did you stay with PlayStation?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I didn't like PlayStation 2 as much as the PlayStation, though. I'll say that.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, because the PS2 RPGs, this is gonna sound stupid. They felt too polished. What?
It's almost like the games. It's almost like the game's too good.
Just, I don't know. It was something about that. Just, I mean, I missed the really nice high res sprites in some of the 2D games that were on the original place. That obviously Suikoden.
I hear you. That's
amazing game. So,
yeah. I mean, epic 2D games. Yeah, kind of died with that generation because then they decided. I mean, I loved the games that were sprite based, but still had like cutscenes and things like that.
Yeah, and then like that 2.5D perspective on a lot of the original PlayStation game. I love that look. And as much as people like to dog Dragon Warrior 7, I liked the look of it.
Oh yeah, great game.
And that's just something you couldn't get, at least not in the normal way on the PS2. Though I will say, Disgaea kind of gave me a little taste of it.
Yeah, I suppose so. And of course, what was good for me is I had a PlayStation very late in its lifetime, so I traded in pretty quick and got the PlayStation 2. So for me, that's where I played most of the PlayStation games. For me, like I don't know if they ever were upscaled to any extent because that's how I played them the first time. So I don't really know of another way to play them. But but PlayStation 2 has a special place in my mind just because I was able to play those games. Although I first played Metal Gear, and on the Dreamcast, due to Bleemcast.
Ah yes,
I remember the old. I would see that all over the place, the old EB.
Yep. Got an Xbox many years after it was discontinued, but there's a couple good games on there too.
I think I got an Xbox in 2003.
Yeah.
And then I got it for Halo because my friend had it and we would get together and do LAN parties all the time with it and just hook them up and have two TVs And then I realized I didn't want any other games for Xbox, except for like, I don't know, Blue Dragon, maybe? No, that was, or that,
that 360. Was 360.
That was 360. Did, so yeah, so no, I was right to trade it in.
Did you own a GameCube at all?
I did not. My friend had a GameCube, which is where we played most of our Brothers of Smash.
Ah, yes.
But yeah, I came into the GameCube game much later I picked one up.
After Dreamcast went away, I picked one up, and it was my second system after that. And I got a PlayStation around this about, I don't know, a year or two later. But the GameCube had some amazing titles first party. Eternal Darkness is still one of my favorite games.
Oh, absolutely.
Super Smash Brothers got a lot of play, and just the standard Nintendo classics. But to tell you the truth, it's one of my least liked Nintendo systems. I don't know. I just never really got into it much because that's when I really went multi-platform hardcore, you know, having a few. Because I always went multi-platform, like, in reverse. Like, after a system died, I'd buy the system and a bunch of the old games. But that, I think that's one of the first times I had multiple, like, current-gen systems.
This is really interesting, because we're, like, converging now. I got that Dreamcast, but I don't think it... This is my first non-Nintendo console purchase of any kind.
Really?
Yes. But I don't think it counts, because it was pretty much dead at that point. I did get a PS2... in 2004, once we knew that the PS3 was coming, basically.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play all those PlayStation games I missed out on. You know, I had, you know, like Trey's PlayStation, I would play games on, and they were, having worked in like video game stores and whatnot, I really had an idea of what the PS2 stuff was all about. And I wanted to play Katamari Damacy.
There you go.
There's that.
That's
so.
That's as good a reason as any, you know.
I had not one console, but three, and I was going to say all three, but I forgot about the Xbox, which, well, I still don't have an original Xbox.
Oh, you don't?
But all that hatred I harbored for non-Nintendo consoles got transferred onto Microsoft.
There you go.
And it's partly because I know that they were involved in the Dreamcast, at least with the Windows CE stuff. Yeah. And there was so much about the Xbox that was Dreamcast-like.
Yeah.
That it upset me.
There you go.
And so
that's irrational.
And so which obviously it makes sense that the 360 would be the first console I would buy for the next generation. Because I didn't actually buy it myself.
You are an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
I am a jerk. I am inconstant and
incontinent.
Bringing it back to that toilet there. Yeah.
To go back to our toilet theme. Yes. Speaking of toilets, Dave, which console did you choose for the for this next generation?
For the seventh generation?
Yes.
Seventh generation.
I much later got a PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Ooh, how long did you go without any console in that generation?
It was probably, man, I don't know, because my parents got the Wii, my friend got the Wii, and I just kept playing PS2 and PS1 games over and over again, and then so it was probably 2008 or 9 before I got a PS3. And I still got the fat one anyway.
There you go. Yep, me too. Me too, even though the Slim was out at that point, you know. I actually went back to Nintendo this generation. I got the Wii. Because this is the first console I bought from in Japan. First new console I bought in Japan. And it was just such a cultural thing going on at that time. Like, that's what you bought. Bars in the town would have Wii nights. I'm guessing America was similar when Wii Sports came out and everything. It was just absolutely, that's the console that you had. And I bought that until Valkyria Chronicles came out on PlayStation 3. And then I'm like, oh yes, I love RPGs as well. And that's that.
Yeah, I actually spent my own money on a Wii again on launch day, and that was right around the time we were formulating Famicom Dojo. So that after the fact became a Famicom Dojo video, even though it was just me and Phil.
I'm going to have to stop here. You said my own money again. At this point, you are 25 years old. Who else's money would it be?
Well, this is important because, like I said, okay. I had a 360 before I had a Wii.
Okay.
Because the 360 was a gift from my father. And I'm trying to figure out why this happened. Because I am a 25-year-old man.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? And the best I can figure is that he saw me playing Shenmue once and was really intrigued by it. So because it was so cheap to get a Dreamcast, I just gave him one and gave him Shenmue. I don't think he ever played it. It ended up in my sister's possession. But I wonder if he felt like he had to return the favor or something.
So that one was slightly larger and also white, so he figured that would be it.
Exactly. And Shenmue 2 did come out for that, even though I ended up importing the European Dreamcast version. Neither here nor there. But, you know, I'm doing Powet TV with Zach Shipley at that time.
Yeah.
Or we were just starting out. I known him for a few years at that point, and he'd actually come out to Madison then and live with Phil and I for a summer, and then he and Phil continued to hang out together. So I spent a lot of time with them, and you know, he was into Xbox, and we played a lot of Halo. And so, you know, kind of like getting the PS2 so I could play PlayStation games, I got a 360 so I could play Halo 2. Even though I had Perfect Dark, like I knew that Rare had made the jump to a Microsoft studio, so I was going to follow them. Might as well, you know, buy some games for the system I did not ask for, but, you know, take advantage of it, right? And okay. Perfect Dark Zero was just so bad.
I never played it.
Oh, so disappointing. I loved GoldenEye and Perfect Dark on the N64 so much. And despite looking very polished, the multiplayer, especially after playing Halo, the multiplayer was just so bad. I couldn't stomach it. And there are achievements that you can't get unless you play multiplayer, which no one does anymore. So,
and you've never, and you never picked up the PlayStation 3, right?
I did not. I never did. So, but this is what launched me into making the 360 my go-to platform, because okay. The Wii, much to my disappointment and the disappointment of others, did not have many multi-platform games, if any. And like, if you wanted to play Ghostbusters that didn't look like cartoons, you had to play it on PS3 or 360. So,
yeah, that was a big problem.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, I want to play a game where I could theoretically use the Wii remote to capture ghosts because that would be cool. But this game looks terrible.
Yeah, yep. not well done. I didn't get the Wii personally. I bought my own when they came out with the 25th anniversary, the red one.
That was the one that
I ended up getting. So I was like, okay, well, I haven't had a Wii. You know, I want to get one. This red one's coming out. Got to get a Wii. I like the special edition colors.
Yeah.
It looked really good next to your Jaguar.
Did you get an Xbox 360 at all, Dave?
Toilets.
I got one. Yeah, one was given to me.
Nobody buys these.
No, nobody buys them. Yeah, the white arcade 360. My girlfriend at the time, watch out. She had bought one for her father, and it got the old red ring. And they just went and got him another one because they didn't know that you could send them in. And then way later, we started dating, and I was like, oh, I don't have an Xbox 360. She's like, yeah, we still have an old broken one in the closet. I was like, what do you mean broken one? She's like, oh, it turns red when you turn it on. I'm like, so really?
So you wrapped it in towels, put it.
Yes, I did. And
oh, really? Oh, my goodness. Out. I was making a joke.
I went online, and the warranty for that serial number was still active. So I printed out the prepaid postage, wrapped it up in a box, sent it back, and they fixed it and sent it back, and I got one for free.
All right. Wow. Then, having gotten what you wanted, ditched the girlfriend. And
having gotten what I wanted, I rarely played it and married her.
What?
Yes, that girl is now my wife.
Oh my gosh.
This is ironic because I'm not an Xbox person, but
you were actually able to make a that's no girl, that's my wife joke that actually made sense.
And it was real. It was real. I wifed the hell out of her.
I am glad I didn't ask questions about the marital status of her parents.
here's the funny thing. She was a Nintendo gal.
Yeah.
But had a Game Gear. Ew. Why?
You married her?
I know, right? She's just very close.
Did her parents have stock in batteries futures?
they did have the AC adapter.
Oh, okay.
Accessory. And her favorite console, she's not a gamer, but if she had to pick one, is the N64.
Oh, man.
Which I don't understand. She's like, GoldenEye is so good. I'm like, you don't even play games.
My wife also was an N64 gal. She loved Mario Kart.
Weird. Yeah, they think it's the best version.
My wife is a Famicom Disk System girl.
a rare treat.
Indeed.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess that brings us to now, huh?
All right.
All right, the NX. I mean...
Oh, you...
Oh, sorry, I see
now, you.
Now, I don't think the Wii U really qualifies as an 8th generation
console. Let's not do this here.
Look at it.
Because look at it.
With its weaker power.
Those shadows are baked in.
Now, this, if you want to hear our opinions on this, you can just go listen to earlier podcasts from like
listen to any podcast we've done.
Go to the ones from when Microsoft was doing all the nonsense with their disc based stuff and our feelings on that. So we will not rehash those there. So this is all Dave all the time now.
Okay.
All right. Well, I went Wii U, got it the launch year.
All right.
And I like it. And then I got the PlayStation 4 on launch day. And I didn't get it because I was like, yeah, I can't wait for that PlayStation 4. I didn't pre-order it. I had a friend that worked at Target. And he was like, hey, you like PlayStation, right? And I'm like, yeah, it used to be my console of choice until the Wii U. And then he said, well, I can probably get you one. With my discount.
We'll just say it fell off the back of the truck.
Yeah. He's like, and I can use my discount. I was like, well, I guess.
This is how I got
a PlayStation 4 on launch day. And I released a video on my channel the night I got it. And I was like, I don't really know what to say about this thing because there's not really any games I'm pumped for. So I posted it. You can still on my channel. As PlayStation 4 Special Collector's Edition Unboxing. And I was like, yeah, apparently this is some weird sexy collector's edition. And I open it up, and it has panties on it. And that's it. That was that. And then I never played it.
So you're talking about the Japanese Standard Edition.
Yeah, right, exactly. The Standard. The deluxe version removes them.
I hear you can buy Rock Band 4 for this.
For this PlayStation 4 system?
I've heard that. I'm not sure where that was.
I am a Rock Band fella, but unlike you, I did not go the course route. I had all of
I get it, the course route.
Well then, I was too shocked, too gobsmacked to comment.
Gob the Smacked. That's a new one. Godsmack? That's my favorite Christian band. No. I went Rock Band 3. That was when I got everything. And I went PS3. So.
See, now you can bring this stuff into the future with you.
Except my keyboard, which I thought was awesome. And I guess you can't use the keyboard anymore. Is that correct?
I would not know. That seems plausible. But they would have dropped that.
No keyboard. They were like, we're going back to basics, which means basically, hey, no keyboard, and that's it. Back to that's basics.
That's the slogan on the box. Back to basics. I mean, no keyboard.
Guitar Hero is back too with this Guitar Hero Live thing, and they are like shot across the bow here. Like basically for the same price as you get a guitar and game pack for the Rock Band 4, you can get two guitars. In the game for Guitar Hero Live.
Does Guitar Hero use drums or anything?
No, I don't think so.
There you go.
I think they're back to even more basic.
Even more basic. We've cut out all the essentials of a band. The rhythm. Just Guitar Live. All of your favorite bands are doing it. Going up on stage with just a guitar. Now you can live that life.
They're not even animating people on stage anymore. It's just music videos. Oh.
Ooh, what is it, DDR?
We've gone back to the basics.
Right? It is. It's pretty much DDR. It's Guitar Freaks. Yeah.
We were thinking, what if we wanted to release this game in the future on the CDI system? What kind of system could we implement that would complement that as well? Yes.
Perfect.
The whole just FMV, one instrument. No drums, no rhythm.
This is very frustrating for me, actually, because after like going all in with the 360, you know, the fall of 2007 with Rock Band coming out, Mass Effect. I forget what other games there were for. Oh yeah, Halo 3, I think, was that fall too. Like all these things hit at once, and that like shifted my gaming to this platform. Like I knew I was going to get a Wii U, but like the question was going to be, even after all the terrible things that Microsoft and Sony had been pulling, like which one of those would be my real go-to platform, because I'll totally buy all of these games. And then I became a father.
Whoops.
Yeah.
And
that's what happens when you go all in. Sorry.
That's crazy that you won that kid during a poker game.
Yeah, no kidding. All in. My kid was given to me by an ex-girlfriend's father. So,
there you go.
Yeah,
science.
So here I am, like knowing I was gonna.
It's like, yeah, just right back into it.
I can't follow that. I'm sorry. Here I am, knowing that like I'll have a Wii U and I'll have it for the games I want, but it's not going to be my main console, and it's my main console.
Yeah,
of course.
How did this happen? I thought I was over Nintendo.
Because
Nintendo, you and I are through.
Because we only like Nintendo. Oh no! Oh my God, we're hipsters. We only like Nintendo when it's not cool.
Oh no!
It's got the games, man.
It really does. Oh my goodness! And they're so good. Like Nintendo's first party efforts with this system, with a couple exceptions, like I don't know whatever that new Amiibo game is, but. I mean, they've just you can pretty much just walk into a store with your eyes closed, blindly grab a game, and it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, and yet the games I play on it the most are the eShop offerings.
Hmm.
Well, you know, there's some good indie stuff on there though. There's some really good indie stuff. And apparently, it's profitable for them because they're not so drowned out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, with the mention of disc games, that reminds me of the many, many ones I have on my pile of shame. Yes, we were born to play on this retro game. Let's act on viewing a Famicom console again. Thank you for this video game. Shall we get into it?
Shame.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time. Or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. All right, Dave, since you are our guest, please go first. What do you have for us? Do you have a Future Retro or a Pile of Shame?
I've got a Pile of Shame.
Shame!
It keeps getting pointed out to me by my fellow RPG players.
Ah.
Is that I own it. I actually own the steelbook case version and the regular release, Final Fantasy XII. Never played it, but I own it because, you know, I just, after the whole 10-10-2 debacle, I was like, what did you do to my sweet, sweet baby? And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. And I've heard you didn't like costume-based combat. Yeah, believe it or not, I did not want to Barbie dress up, unless you call those dresses classes and it's Final Fantasy V. So,
right. Yeah,
I've heard nice. That. I've heard it's good though. I've That's... heard 12 is good, but I just can't. I don't want to do it.
Did you like Xenoblade?
Yeah. See, that's the other thing. I'm a turn-based combat fella.
Ah.
And I hear that 12 is a little bit too real for me. When keeping it real goes wrong, FF12.
I don't like games where you can be in a battle and you can't take a bathroom break.
Right? Right? Yeah. You don't know when those dumpers are going to come.
And that's why I keep the Jaguar nearby.
You know, if I see a cactuar, I might have to dump. Tonberg.
That's why
nice
I mainly play portables. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's yeah, it's a little wacky. Also, now that would be the real excuse I would give, but yeah, believe it or not, it gets even yet more shameful.
Oh no. All right.
You ready for this? I don't know if
you're among friends,
internet's
here.
Ready. So okay. I love RPGs because I like to take control of that character, that main character, and be like, oh, that's me. This is my story, not to quote our annoying main character from FF10. But at least you could name him. And from what I understand, you cannot name your character in Final Fantasy XII. They stopped that, correct? And I'll tell you, it takes it out of me and takes me out of it when I cannot name my main character in a Final Fantasy game. And I guess that's the way of the future now. Most RPGs, I guess, the more modern ones, you can't name your main character. And I know there's different schools of thought. Some people like to keep it the traditional name. But for me, everybody else I'll keep the same, even if you can name your other characters. But I like when it forces you to name the main character.
So you've never been Link. You've always been Dave.
Correct.
It was the adventure of Dave.
Correct. How medieval does that sound? So, yeah, same. Suikoden, I was always Dave. But again, Suikoden, it didn't even give you a default name. You had to type a name in.
Yeah, a lot of those early ones. Dragon Quest, I think, was the same.
Yeah, so unless you knew the details behind the game, which I know now, it was Tier for the original game, and from the mangas and different things. So yeah, that's my other shameful reason for a lot of modern RPGs that I have skipped over because, I will try to find out if you can name the character. It's not like it says it on the back of the box. Yeah. Great features, awesome combat, you can name your character. It doesn't tell you. So, a lot of times I just assume probably can't.
So game companies, if you're listening, and we know you do listen to this podcast, you're leaving money on the table if you don't allow your characters to be named or don't have as a default your characters being named Dave.
Literally sixties of dollars per year. You're losing, literally.
These are tens and tens of dollars.
Tens and tens added up about six times per year. Yes.
This is where my ignorance is now. Because I also stopped playing Final Fantasy around 10. I think I got to Blitzball. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Underwater. Yeah, I got to that.
10. I did finish 10.
You did finish it. Oh,
not 10-2, though.
I got that far and did not continue. Because I realized after playing Blitzball and how much more fun I was having leveling that up than playing the actual game, I was like, you know what? I think I'm done.
Yeah, it was, after 9, which was a masterpiece.
Oh, 9.
You and Ben would be good friends, I think.
Yeah, after 9.
9's a good game.
And then 10 just at first I was like, oh, what? What are you doing? What are you doing, game?
At first I'm like, whoa, this game has voice acting. That's a major step in the right direction. And then you get later and you're like, oh, please just do that as text.
Yeah, where's that? Where's yes. Oh. Oh yeah, not 9. It was a huge drop, but I still finished 10. So I was like, it still feels all right. And they did some interesting things, but it just wasn't enough. And then they blew it.
So 11 and 13 are the online ones, right? And 12 is not.
No. Correct. 13 is the 14 PS. And 11 are the.
Oh, 14 online. And 11. Yes. What's 13?
13 is like.
Oh, is that Lightning?
Lightning waifu game. Simulator, yeah.
Oh.
walking simulator.
Yeah, and 11 I never tried. I've seen 11 played. My buddy was into it because he was an MMO guy, but it's just, I just can't. And if I play an MMO, I will disappear. So I just stay away from them.
Yep. So I don't play MMOs for the same reason I don't smoke crack. I mean.
Because you don't stop.
Yeah,
because you don't stop and you ruin your life.
Yeah, MMOs. Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Vink. Speaking of ruining your life, do you have a pile of shame or a future retro for us?
I'm gonna follow the shameful path.
Shame.
I'm gonna go with the series of Deus Ex.
Oh yes.
Well, okay. Wait, before I feel too shameful, have you guys all played them?
No.
I thought it was pronounced Deus Ex.
All right.
I guess I haven't played it.
And all of our listeners are like,
"No, from me."
So we're listening to a podcast where the three hosts are talking about one of the most famous video games ever made, and none of them have played it.
I think a copy came with.
Are very important.
I had a roommate in college who was playing the original one, like incessantly on the computer. It looked really fun, got futuristic setting. Stuff like that, but I was never really into first person shooter games in general, and I know that some of the sequels were not received well. But then, the one on Wii U came out, Square Enix Director's Cut, looked like it had options for playing it RPG style, is how they've described it.
What does that mean?
In other words, it's much less based on like. On the action sequences, I guess there's that mode in Mass Effect where you can play it more like story mode than combat. And I guess it's something like that. And it had a very impressive opening cutscene, and that's about as far as I got.
Yeah, because who needs Twitch reflexes? I mean, as far as I know, if you have a Twitch, there's something wrong.
You're right. And I was playing this game, and I'm like, what if I have to go to the bathroom?
Much like any gameplay session that Vink enters. You know what? What if I have to use the bathroom during this game?
What? Why don't all game chairs have this feature?
Oh, man.
Oh, not a dump hole. Not an old-fashioned dump hole.
Haven't used those since the 16-bit days.
Yeah, we've had a serious focus on the old fart box today.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. A laser focus to the fart box.
Laser focus.
One might say it was laser active.
Ooh. Pioneer. You're a pioneer of your time.
Nice. I like that. Because in many ways, that was an old fart box. All right. Well, that's enough of my shame. Sean.
Well,
get us back on track here.
I too have a pile of shame.
Shame.
And this one came into focus because of a sequel that came out for the current generation. I guess it's still releasing on both for the most part. But I started playing and then did not finish playing Batman Arkham City for my Xbox 360. And I think this is of particular note because this was around the time of the, you know, transition to fatherhood, getting the Wii U, not playing a lot of games in general. And it's kind of too bad because this is like one of the few games that like my wife actually bought for me as a gift. So I was definitely enjoying it. That was not a problem. But I'm also a completionist. And trying to get all those damn Riddler trophies was just chafing my ass.
Just chafing it.
I did not mean to make the toilet reference again. It just happened.
You know, it's just, I mean, if it was chafed, you gotta, that's what happened.
That is because you didn't wax your dump hole.
It's because you were sitting on a Pioneer Laser Active.
Yes.
Those things can get warm, first, you know?
Always just... the first problem in gaming.
Oh, God.
Have you ever called one of those game helplines? I mean, no. You're like, I can't get past level 7-2. The first thing they ask you is, are you currently sitting on a laser active? And if you say yes, then they'll be like, well, you should get off that first and then try it again. It just it ruins your laser focus.
Oh, God. Oh, good night, everybody. So Arkham Knight came out, and it was like the first one that who is it? Rocksteady makes those that they had actually made themselves since City, because Origins happened. It was a whole thing. I know someone who worked in the port for the Wii U version. Let's not talk about that. So I have friends who tell me Arkham Knight's really good, and I feel like I have to go back and play Arkham City, which means I'm probably never going to play Arkham Knight. Because I've reached this point now where I have a whole pile of games for my 360 that I've mentioned before. So Tomb Raider, and there's a sequel to that coming out now, which is currently only on Xbox One, I believe. I think that's just a timed exclusive, though.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And then the only Bioshock game I own, I have not yet even opened Infinite. I need to play those, and I feel like I want to do those before I get back to Arkham City, which, given that we're looking down the barrel of the NX coming out relatively soon, maybe, probably, I'm guessing means I'll never get back to it.
Yeah.
So that's the other problem with, I guess, this whole multi-generational thing. How long can we keep doing this, guys? Like, can we keep buying consoles? Because some people, it seems like, are dropping off, if Japan's any indication, which is a whole other topic, I guess.
I am running out of space because I never get rid of the consoles after I have them. That's a problem. But no, I think for the foreseeable future, I will eventually buy all consoles. I don't know. Maybe I don't need an Xbox One. I want to play Cuphead, though.
I kind of want Killer Instinct, even though that team that made it's pretty much non-existent anymore. You know, stuff like that. There are little things that entice me, but I need to buy diapers with those $300 instead.
$300 worth of diapers.
That'll get me through about maybe 3 months.
Yeah.
How many dumps will that get you through?
God.
Now, are these diapers for your children?
I'd rather not say.
Because I think I found a problem for the not being able to pause real-time battles.
It probably depends.
There's the solution.
All right, let's bring this podcast to a merciful end.
Put it out of its misery.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Dentrymail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more. Well, thanks everyone for listening. I think that's all the time we have for this week. I did want to mention, since last episode, I did buy Lego Dimensions, and I am playing it. Whoa. So I know what I'm talking about now, and we may or may not have a guest on who complained about our lack of knowledge about Lego games in general, who will set us straight. So looking forward to that.
Nice tease.
Vink, any other thoughts before we bid adieu?
I would like to thank our guest, Game Dave, for making this the most interesting podcast in a long time. But unfortunately, like Sega owning parents, we will not be seeing Dave next.
Off the podcast.
Okay. On our next podcast. But we do hope you come back again and talk with us soon.
Yeah, anytime.
So Dave, where can all these wonderful listeners who have not heard of you before find you?
Probably the easiest option would be to use your internet machines. Ooh. And go to gamedave.com, which will take you directly to my YouTube channel.
I will use my GameCom that I picked up at KB Toys to try to.
Well, as long as you have a Dreamcast internet adapter, you'll be fine.
Oh yeah. I do. I do have a broadband adapter.
And then I'll use my Satellaview to download it.
Awesome.
BS Game Dave.
Well, that works.
The Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at illustrations.co.uk. Find us at famicondojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network. All right, so I guess then, until next time, the dojo is...
digitally distracted.
Sorry, I didn't catch what you were saying. It's all this digital media on.
I'm very sure. Rock your betting game. Whoa, yay! Whoa!
Famicom Dojo.
Let's do that again without saying Wikipedia. How about this?
That was hilarious.
Okay, then we'll continue that. Then edit out the part where I'm saying edit out something.
I will not.
But anyway.